This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 with Katie on Katie's Cut Lunch, and I'm talking to Karen Pickering in our segment Feminist About Town. Karen, let's go back over the past week and talk about an issue that concerned me, and that was the Wimbledon coverage of the Wimbledon women's tennis final.
Yeah, wasn't it? I mean, it was thrilling and an exciting time. You know, it seemed like in the women's competition anyway, there were some spectacular burnout
that
led to the final being contested between two kind of lesser known players.
Yes, yes.
Still seeded players, you know, obviously still among the best in the world. But yeah, so we saw the victor, Marion Bartoli, a French player.
Mm-hmm.
Hold the Wimbledon trophy aloft, but that was not all we saw.
Yes, we saw some very unfortunate media coverage and social media coverage in which Marion was criticised heavily for the way she looked.
And not surprise, surprise.
Oh, what a surprise.
Apparently it's not enough to be so amazingly fit and talented that you win Wimbledon.
Mm.
You also have to look a particular way. Yeah, John Inverdale was the big banana at the BBC, who made the ludicrous comment that maybe Marion Bartoli, maybe her parents, knowing that she was so unfortunate looking, had pushed her harder, and that was why she'd become such a scrappy player.
Oh my God!
Which was a comment for which he pretty quickly apologised, grudgingly or not, and the BBC caught a lot of heat for it. And, you know, to be fair, in the mainstream media and in the press, there was universal condemnation.
Well, that's good.
Of that kind of comment. I think maybe 30 years ago, a comment like that or even less might have just gone on unremarked.
Yeah.
So I think that we're in a good position in the sense that an old dinosaur like him commenting on the looks of an elite athlete is really told to pull his head in.
Yeah.
But as you say, social media is a different landscape, and it certainly doesn't have editors and formal apologies abounding. So the kinds of comments that were really widely made about Marion Bartoli included that she was fat, that she was ugly, that she was sweaty and smelly and stinky, which is kind of an amazing thing for people to pick up.
Yes.
Looking at her on a screen. And look, I mean, obviously the way to respond to comments like this is not to get into whether or not she is attractive, because, you know, you don't negotiate with terrorists.
Mm.
But the idea that this woman is considered so offensively, appallingly hideous is really laughable. I mean, you know, I would urge people to just Google this woman and just see. I mean, if this is the kind of woman that is considered so repulsive, she shouldn't be on screens. I mean, it is astonishing, because, you know, I find her an incredibly beautiful and powerful and attractive woman. But yeah, she actually dealt with it really amazingly. In the press conference after she won, she was asked about John Inverdale's remarks, and she said, did I ever think that I'd win a modelling contract? No. Did I ever think that I'd win Wimbledon? Yes. And I have. So
more power to her.
Yeah, it was a brilliant kind of maybe characteristically French response, which was a kind of studied insouciance. But it's hard to know whether or not it did hurt her, and certainly it would have hurt many, many other girls and women in the world looking at her and saying, well, if that's considered a woman who's so hideous she shouldn't be allowed out in public, what does this mean for me? And just once again undermining the achievements of women who are not there to be, you know, assessed on their looks.
And related to that also was Andy Murray winning the men's title, who was the first British man to win the title for 77 years, but not the first British person
Yes, and I saw, for about 24 hours, I saw a lot of media, and this is, you know, we're pointing the finger at the mainstream media now, mm-hmm. you should know better. First Brit to win Wimbledon.
He's brought the trophy back to the homeland.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, finally Britain can hold their head high because one of their athletes has triumphed at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And that with the inconvenient fact being that Virginia Wade had won the trophy for Britain.
Yes.
In, I think, was it 78 or something?
Sometime in the 70s, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously it has not been a 44-year spell for British...
77.
Yeah, for British pride in sporting achievement at Wimbledon. But clearly, if you're a woman who wins Wimbledon, that is worth less and rated as less of an achievement than men. And you know, we're also watching the Tour de France at the moment, which is, you know, a race that I adore and a spectacle that the whole world tunes into and, you know, in which women are just completely invisible and absent. So it is that kind of, you know, that feeling that sport is a microcosm of the whole world that we're living in and it can show us the very best and the very worst of us, we certainly saw that this week. In other sport news, Stephen Milne will be running on tomorrow to play for St Kilda.
Yes, he will.
Football club, despite facing rape charges.
And what do you think about that, Karen?
I'm not surprised at all. I certainly condemn it.
Yeah,
I think that the AFL and St Kilda Football Club and all of the clubs really have to take a good hard look at themselves if they think that the right of a player to rejoin the leadership group and the right of a club to get their money's worth out of a talented player certainly should not, should not be put ahead of the right of a victim to feel as though her charges are being taken seriously.
Yeah.
But also, what message does it send to female supporters of the AFL as well?
What do you say to those people who say, oh, yeah, but he's innocent until proven guilty?
Absolutely, that's true. But I don't think there are many jobs in which you are in the public eye in which you wouldn't be stood down until those charges were seen by a court.
Yeah.
And I think that if for most of us in our jobs, if we're up on charges of a violent nature, offences against the person, whether it was assault or rape, I think we would all expect that it would have an impact on our professional life. And certainly the other thing about the way that St Kilda is handling the charges is that they have made it very clear that that their priority is to Stephen Milne and that Stephen Milne is someone who they don't believe is guilty. And so I think that for people to then turn around and talk about the rule of law being something that should protect Stephen Milne in this instance, I think is pretty hypocritical, given that the rule of law and is being applied to him at the moment.
Yeah.
So he's a person who I think for many reasons could probably just stay out of the limelight and stay out of the public eye and just keep his head down and face these charges.
Yeah.
But instead what St Kilda are choosing to do I think is pretty defiant and designed to send a message.
It's very unfortunate in my opinion as well. Okay. Oh, we have to wrap it up there. That's Karen Pickering I'm talking to on Feminist About Town. Thank you again for being on Joy 94.9, Karen.
I love it. And I hope to see some Joy listeners tonight at the first annual Slut Fest.
Absolutely. Yeah, get down to the Bell Union. What time does it start?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Bell Union in Carlton for a fantastic night of... Just escapism, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. There'll be sequins, there'll be feathers, there'll be fishnets for sure.
Excellent. Okay, there's Karen Pickering. You can find out what Karen's up to on her website, mskarenpickering.com.au. And I promise everybody that podcasts will start to go up from our Feminist About Town segment in the next week. Thanks again, Karen.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.